Just to make a start in labor participation, joint management councils were formed. Now, when we talk about joint management councils, what are the difference? What is a basic difference between works committee and JMC, that is joint management councils? So here we are, empowering the representatives of workers by giving them the power to take some decisions. They are also participating in the decision making process. Whereas works committee is concerned, that is more suggestive in nature. So here we are giving them due participation in taking decisions also. So just to make a start in labor participation in management, the government suggested its Industrial Resolution 1956 to set up joint management council. It consists of again equal numbers of workers and employers. So here we have minimum of 6, that means 6 number of employers and 6 number of employees, and it goes maximum up to 12, that is 12 number of employers and 12 number of employees. Decision of JMC should be unanimous and should be implemented without any delay. So any decision taken in this JMC should be with due consideration of all the members, whether it be employee or employer, and there should be quick implementation of whatever decisions are taken at JMC. JMC members should be given proper training. Now see, when it comes to decision is somewhere a very sensitive area. So before taking decision, they should be given due training, they should be polished, and they should be given some training on leadership skills, wherein they are at a position to take better decisions. JMC should look after three main areas: information sharing, consultative, and administrative. So they have defined these three areas wherein the JMC will be working. So that is information sharing. It goes both the ways, from employees to employer and employer to employee. Employee may share information in the forms of suggestions, and employer may share information regarding the future projects and what they are planning for their employees, etc. Consultation and administration. Representation of workers to the JMC should be based on the nomination by the representation. They should be nominated. What are the objectives of JMC? Basically, they are to satisfy the psychological needs of workers, or we can say physiological needs of workers, which is a basic motivational level. If you see Abraham Maslow's motivation theory, these are the basic needs. If these are fulfilled, then only the worker will feel motivated to reach to the another level of motivation. Improve the welfare measures. That means we are not here talking about implementation of welfare measures. We are talking on improvising whatever is existing. Increase workers' efficiency. See, now somewhere we can relate this to the first point, that is satisfying physiological needs of workers. So automatically, if you relate this to the Abraham Maslow's motivation theory, Abraham Maslow says that once physiological needs are fulfilled, now you can give them some more motivation through offering of safety and social needs, which will indeed increase the efficiency of the workers. And when there is an increase in efficiency of workers, automatically the productivity of workers increase, which in turn will reduce the cost of production, and which will make their product and service competitive in the market, and which will in turn provide more profits to the employer. So via this, we are able to justify, or we are able to integrate the objectives of employers and employees. Improve the relation and association. So automatically, when you are providing your employer with more profits, employer will also contribute part of their profits to the workers. So it becomes a continuous cycle, and the relations are going to improve more and more. Between workers and managers and promoters. JMC deals with matters like employee welfare, apprenticeship scheme. Employees are motivated and encouraged to give suggestions on various matters, the result of which could be benefit the company as well as employees. So when we are talking about suggestion schemes, we are inviting suggestions from the workers. And see, somewhere it is beneficial, because exactly the management is not on the floor. These are workers who are working on the daily basis and who are aware about the sensitive issues happening on the floor. So they might be at a better position to give suggestions when it comes to improvising the processes and methods to be implemented. The suggestions are evaluated by industrial engineering department in consultation with the concerned department. So here, whichever valuable suggestions given by the employee are being further checked or I could say evaluated by the industrial engineering department with the concerned department and are suitably awarded on the basis of cost saved by the company or value addition as a result of the suggestion. So here we are motivating that particular employee who has given this valuable suggestion, because of which either we are able to reduce some cost or save some money, or maybe we are not saving some money but then we are improvising on some process. So we are awarding that particular employee for that valuable suggestion, which will indeed motivate other employees also to give suggestions which are valuable and which will be helping the company to improvise or save money. Joint councils are set up for the whole unit and deal with matters relating to optimum production and efficiency and the fixation of productivity norms for man and machine for the industry as a whole. So here they are setting some standards, or I would say minimum standards, for the employee as well as machinery, so that they get higher productivity and higher efficiency. In every industrial unit employing 500 and more workers, there should be a JMC for the whole unit. So it becomes binding on any industry who is appointing or employing more than 500 workers in the unit. So they should form JMC. What are the features of joint councils? So members of the council must be actually engaged in the unit. So when we are talking about, say, these representatives of workers or employers or representative, somewhere should be engaged on the daily basis, in the activity performed at the workplace. The chief executive of the unit will be the chairman of the council, and vice chairman will be nominated by the worker members. Term of the council will be 2 years. So now when we talk about formation of such JMCs in the industry, the term will be 2 years. JMC shall meet at once in a quarter. So here they have also given the duration or the frequency of meetings. Decision of the council will be based on consensus and not on voting. Optimum use of raw material and quality of finished product. Now here the functions of JMC is to increase the efficiency, productivity, and use the raw materials to its maximum extent and improve the quality of finished product. So ultimately what we are doing through this optimization of uses of raw materials, we are somewhere able to reduce wastages and reduce cost of production. And at the same time, we are also improving, or we are trying to improve the quality of ultimate finished product. Optimum production, efficiency, and function of productivity norms for man and machine as a whole. So here this point we have discussed earlier also, wherein we are setting some standards for man and machine to be achieved and to bind them to achieve greater efficiency. Preparation of schedules of working hours and of holidays. So what will be the maximum working hours for any unit, and what will be the list of holidays in a year. Adequate facilities for training. Your training is very important to match up with the upcoming changes arising in the market. So if we are not able to cope up with the requirements of the market, somewhere we may fail on the above points. So continuous training is also important. Rewards for valuable and creative suggestion received from the workers, so that it motivates other workers also to contribute to the decision making process or suggestive schemes. Somewhere the promotion of collective bargaining is also given a due importance, because when we go for collective bargaining, both the parties are contributing the positive sides, and there are less frictions and conflicts happening. Collective bargaining is a process in which the representatives of the employer and of the employee meet and attempt to negotiate a contract governing the employer-employee union relationship. Collective bargaining involves discussion and negotiation between two groups as the terms and conditions of employment. So generally, collective bargaining is improvising or say amendments to be made in the terms of contract through which they will be able to satisfy their employees and they will be, you know, happy workforce and working efficiently. And it will also reduce the number of conflicts happening in an industry. Labor welfare officer. We have spoken about who is a labor welfare officer in our previous modules when we discussed, the setup of administration setup in India concerning to the laborers. The Factories Act 1948 provides for the appointment of a labor welfare officer in every factory employing 500 or more workers. So we are talking about a factory who is hiring more than 500 workers has to appoint a labor officer. So now this labor officer looks into the areas of improvements and the employees feel comfortable to approach a labor officer because they are basically appointed for their welfare. The officer looks after all facilities in the factory provided for the health, safety and welfare. So there are number of provisions made under Factories Act 1948 which talks about safety, health and welfare measures to be adopted and compulsorily implemented in the factory. So this labor officer will be held responsible to take care of those three provisions which are made in the Factories Act 1948. With both the employer and the worker, thereby serving as a communication link and contributing towards healthy industrial relation through proper administration of standing orders, grievances and their procedures. So when it comes to an industry hiring more than 500 employees or workers, labor officer is responsible to implement all those provisions made in Factories Act. Then to take care of the grievances and the complaints coming in and to settle down those grievances and at the same time to follow the procedure which is being given in the act. Tri-party bodies. Several tri-party bodies have been constituted at central, national and state levels. The Indian Labour Conferences, Standing Labour Committees, Wage Boards and Industry Committees operate at the central level. So when we talk about tri-party body, that is intervention of government with the employer and employee, they are being set up on a different level, state level, central level. So when we talk about all these committees which are being formed such as Wage Boards, Industry Committee, they operate on the central level. At the state level, state labor advisory boards have been set up. So now when we talk about the state level committees, what basically they do is they collect the information and data and they supply to the central bodies. So the central bodies are actually in more powerful position because they have legislative powers. Legislative powers means they have the power to plan and implement any law enacted so that the conditions of the labor is further improvised. So somewhere they are working in due coordination. Ultimately, the objective of setting up of all these committees, or I can say, implementing such schemes is ultimately to improve the industrial relation and to derive economic and social benefit out of it. All these bodies play an important role in reaching agreements on various labor related issues. See, we are talking always about reaching agreements. Agreements means voluntarily voluntarily accepting the terms and conditions. The recommendations given by these bodies are, however, advisory in nature and not statutory. Now we are talking about machinery for settlement of industrial dispute. That means what machinery generally we follow in industries to resolve the disputes. The very basic level we have spoken about this is conciliation. Conciliation refers to the process by which representatives of employees and employers are brought together before a third party with a view to discuss, reconcile their differences and arrive at an agreement through mutual consent. So this is a very first level, I can say. Whenever there is a conflict or a grievance happening in an industry, what we do is we try to resolve this through a discussion. Discussion between the conflicting parties, that is employer and employee. And we take a third party's view in this case, because see, why discussion? Both the parties will try to prove themselves on the right side, right? So we have here a third party intervene, which will help them to discuss in a positive way, and which will help both the parties to come and arrive at a single point of agreement with a mutual consent. The third party acts as a facilitator in this process. Conciliation is a type of state intervention in settling the industrial dispute. So generally there is a conciliation officer who acts as a third party, which is again appointed by the appropriate government. What is appropriate government? It may be central government or state government. The Industrial Disputes Act empowers the central and state government to appoint conciliation officer and board of conciliations as and when the situation demands. So now we are talking about appointment of conciliation. The number of conciliation officers in a particular, for a particular industry, or say a board of conciliation, it will be formed as per the requirement and if the situation demands. Arbitration, a process in which a neutral third party listens to the disputing parties, gathers information about the dispute, and then takes a decision which is binding on both the parties. So we have also discussed, what is arbitration in detail and who is the arbitrator and how this arbitration process works. So when we fail to resolve the dispute at conciliation proceedings, it is taken to the further level, and we may go to a third party wherein the decision will be taken by the third party. There is no mutual consent over here. Whereas in conciliation process, we arrive to an agreement through mutual consent. There is no mutual consent over here. Here the arbitrator will gather information regarding the dispute. He will analyze it and take the decision. And once the decision taken by the arbitrator is binding on both the parties. The conciliator simply assists the parties to come to settlement, whereas the arbitrator listens to both the parties and then gives his judgment. Advantages of arbitration. It is established by the parties themselves, and therefore both parties have good faith in the arbitration process. So now when we talk about third parties, the third party is not having any favoritism or favorism on any of the party. So they can trust on the third party. The process is informal and flexible in nature. It is based on mutual consent of the parties and therefore helps in building healthy industrial relationship. What are the disadvantages of arbitration? Delay often occurs in settlement of disputes. Arbitration is an expensive procedure and the expenses are to be shared by the labor and the management. So here we can see arbitration somewhere will have expense to be bared by both the parties, and here the employee may be at a loss. Judgment can become arbitrary when the arbitrator is incompetent or biased. Now in this case, if the person appointed as an arbitrator, if he is incompetent to take the decision, this decision may not be that fruitful or healthy. There are two types of arbitration: voluntary arbitration. In voluntary arbitration, the arbitrator is appointed by both the parties through mutual consent, and the arbitrator acts only when the dispute is referred to him. Now, when we talk about this voluntary arbitration, arbitrator is appointed by both the parties. Okay, that is employer and employee mutually come to a third party arbitrator. That is voluntary in nature. Compulsory arbitration implies that the parties are required to refer the dispute to the arbitrator when they like him or not. Usually when the parties fail to arrive at a settlement voluntarily, or when there is some other strong reason, the appropriate government can force the parties to refer to the dispute and arbitrator. So here the arbitrator is not being appointed by these two parties. That is a compulsion imposed on them, whether they like it or not. Adjudication. Adjudication is the ultimate legal remedy for settlement of industrial disputes. So still, if we are not satisfied with the arbitration process, we further go for this. Adjudication means intervention of legal authority appointed by government to make a settlement which is binding on both the parties. See, again, this is binding on both the parties. It is not motivated, mutual consent is not motivated here. In other words, adjudication means a mandatory settlement of an industrial dispute by a labor court or a tribunal. This can be settled either by labor court or a tribunal relating to that industry. For the purpose of adjudication, the Industrial Disputes Act provides a three-tier machinery: labor court, industrial tribunal, or national tribunal. Labor court. The appropriate government may, by notification in the official gazette, constitute one or more labor court for the adjudication of industrial disputes relating to that any matter specified in the second schedule of Industrial Dispute Act. So now here there are some listed items in the Industrial Dispute Act Schedule 1. So we can refer to a labor court. Now there may be one or several labor court in that particular industrial area. Now the areas of disputes mentioned here are dismissal or discharge or grant of relief to workmen wrongfully dismissed. So when it comes to dismissal, whether it is wrongfully done, we have spoken about few points wherein the employee is not allowed to join any trade union association. If he does so, he is being dismissed from the work. So that is a wrongful dismissal. So such type of wrongful dismissal will be taken care of in labor court. Illegality or otherwise of a strike or lockout. Now see, when we talk about strikes, there are legal strikes and illegal strikes. So before going to strike, if the trade union has followed to the provisions mentioned, followed the rules and regulation, that will be a legal strike. Otherwise it is called to be an illegal strike. And again, we are talking about lockouts which are being done by the employer, whether they are legal or illegal. Withdrawal of any customary concessions or privileges. Where an industrial dispute has been referred to a labor court for adjudication, it shall hold its proceedings expeditiously, that means faster, and shall within the period specified in the order referring such a dispute submit its report to the appropriate government. So decisions made over here are faster than any other settlement machinery, and the report will be sent to the appropriate government. Industrial tribunal. The appropriate government may, by notification in the official gazette, constitute one or more industrial tribunals for the adjudication of industrial disputes relating to the following matters. Now here again we have tribunals related to industry called as industrial tribunals. They may be one or more as per the requirement, and they will look into the matters like wages, compensatory and other allowances, hours of work and rest intervals, leave with wages and list of holidays, bonus, profit sharing, provident fund, etc., rules of discipline to be taken care of, retrenchment of worker, whether it is legal or illegal, whether it is fair or unfair, working shifts other than in accordance with standing orders, that means overtime, etc. It is the duty of the industrial tribunal to hold its proceedings faster and to submit its report to the appropriate government within the specified time. So there is some specified time limit for the resolving any grievances and conflicts or disputes coming to this tribunals. So within that time frame, the industrial tribunals are supposed to resolve the dispute at a faster pace and submit a report to the appropriate government. Now coming to national tribunals, the central government may, by notification in the official gazette, constitute one or more national tribunals. So the same applies to the national tribunal as well for the adjudication of industrial disputes in the matters of national importance. When any dispute is concerned with the national importance, it is taken care of by national tribunals. Matters which are of a nature such that industries in more than one state are likely to be interested or affected. by the outcome of the dispute. Now, say for example, if we talk about steel industries which are operating on national level and this dispute has to be taken care of, this will affect the overall nation because this is operating in multi-states. So, such type of disputes will be taken care of by national tribunals. It is the duty of the national tribunal to hold its proceeding faster and to submit its report to the central government within the stipulated time. So this is also binding on the national tribunal as it was for labor courts and industrial tribunal to send a report to the central government. Central industrial relations machinery historical perspective. The organization of the Chief Labor Commission known as Central Industrial Relations Machinery was set up in April 1945. So, before we have this Industrial Dispute Act 1947 in force, we had a setup in April 1945 which actually looked into resolving the disputes arising from the industries. In pursuance of the recommendations of Royal Commission on Labor in India, and was then charged mainly with duties of prevention and settlement of industrial disputes. So even this machinery used to look for the prevention measures that the industrial dispute don't arise, and if arise, what will be the method of solving that disputes. Enforcement of labor laws and to promote welfare of workers in the undertaking falling within the sphere of the central government. Central Industrial Relations Machinery is headed by Chief Labor Commissioner. It is entrusted with the task of maintaining good industrial relations in the central sphere. So now here it becomes the responsibility of this Chief Labor Commissioner to take care of there are less number of disputes and the industrial relation goes very smooth and it is strengthened further. At the headquarters, CIRM, that is Central Industrial Relations Machinery, who have appointed Chief Labor Commissioner, has a complement of 25 officers who will support him to take proper actions and implementations, who perform line and staff functions. In the field, the machinery has a complement of 253 officers and their establishment are spread over different parts of the country with zonal, regional and unit level formation. So, to assist the Chief Labor Commissioner, we have offices spread in different zones and regions and on the unit level. So, this will help them to take decision faster and take better care of the industrial dispute arising in various areas or regions of the country. The CIRM administers the labor laws in the industries for which the central government is the appropriate government. So, for here, the appropriate government is central government because here we are actually talking about a framing of labor laws which will require a nod from central government. Under that act, it functions therefore are prevention and settlement of industrial disputes and enforcement of labor laws. Verification of membership of trade unions that we have discussed in the Trade Union Act 1926 that sometimes the labor commissioner is often appointed as the registrar who acts as a registrar for the Trade Union Act. Enforcement of awards and settlements. Conduct of inquiries into the breaches of code of discipline. So, if there is any breach of contract or any breach of code of discipline, he will further investigate. Promotion of works committees and workers. Now, we have given certain guidelines wherein, industry having more than 100 workers has to set up a committee. So, here that area will be, also come under the Chief Labor Commissioner. Participation in management collection of statistical information. So, here we actually have dealt in detail about how we can prevent the disputes happening in an industry, or else if the dispute has arisen, how soon we can settle that dispute within and outside the industry, and what is the machinery that is being set up for faster resolution of this particular dispute so that it doesn't frustrate the employee anymore or it doesn't affect the work culture in the industry and it allows, you know, both the parties to settle down and work together with and continuing harmonious relationship, which will smoothen the industrial relationship overall. Thank you very much.